Radio Today program with Broadcast Bionics. Innovative solutions for creative radio people.
Thanks for choosing the weekly podcast from Radio Today. I'm Stuart Clarkson, and we start with a thank you for all your lovely comments about last week's Radio Today programme with Dirk Anthony and Matthew Wright. Lots of you have been listening to it. It's one of our most listened to podcasts of the last 12 months already. Thank you for that. More big news this week then. As Scala Radio launched, we learned Bauer's new purchases will be investigated by the CMA. Oh, and Bauer bought another 10 stations, as you do, as the UKRD group became the latest commercial radio operator, full of people now starting to worry what's next for their careers. Roy and I will have more on that next week. And they're all topics that are sure to come up as we join Trevor Dan and his panel of guests.
Thank you, Stu. Welcome to the Radio Today Roundtable for March 2019, courtesy of our hosts at Bauer's Margaret Street Studios. Stu pointed out to me that it's our sixth birthday. It's 6 years ago that we started this podcast.
Where's the cake?
And exactly. And it's still going.
Nearly happy birthday.
As you've noticed, some other people have joined me around the table. Let's see who they are.
I'm Brett Spencer. I'm Digital Content Director for Bauer Radio.
Are you the same Brett Spencer who used to be something like that at the BBC?
I am the same Brett Spencer.
Extraordinary how these things happen. And it's not been a busy week for you guys at Bauer, has it?
No, it's been pretty quiet, actually. Pretty quiet.
Next.
And Lorna Clark. I'm Head of Production for Radio 2 and 6 Music.
And there's a bit of a Bauer bookend this week. So I'm Steve Parkinson, the Managing Director of Bauer's National Radio Brands.
Well, news has broken this morning about your company, but I'm not going to start there. I want to start with this.
Good morning. It's 10 o'clock on Monday, March the 4th, and you're very welcome to the exciting new sound of Scala Radio. And as the late, great, and much-missed Alan Fluff Freeman would have said, greetings, music lovers.
Simon Mayo, referencing both the beginning of Radio 1 and the great Alan Freeman at the beginning of Scala Radio. It's your station, Steve. How did it go that first day?
I think it's safe to say we were absolutely delighted with the first day. You go into these things, as Simon Mayo actually just said to me this morning, you go into day one, however much experience you have, not knowing whether somebody's going to be there to tweet back at you or to call in or to engage. And we had all sorts of backup plans for, you know, what happens if nobody calls in. But I think within an hour, he had more than a month and a half's worth of tweets and emails and confessions and just rich content. Within an hour, he'd spoken to somebody from Belfast, then Pudsey, then Tooting. So I think that gave everybody the confidence that Scala was onto something.
You've called it classical music for the modern world. It's not so much classical music as orchestral, though, isn't it? Because you're playing a lot of more modern pieces.
Yes, I think you know, we've spoken sort of through the build up to this as having a kind of 70-30 filter on sort of everything, but in terms of the music, it is 70% of those familiar masters, the Beethovens and the Bizets, what you'd expect, but the 30% are things that might surprise or you know, that you would discover for the first time. So you know, in the build up, we were talking about Tom York's soundtrack from Suspiria, not a great movie, I would say, but a fantastic soundtrack. So where's the outlet for that to be played? I think yesterday the 30% difference was when the very sad death was announced of Keith Flint. Kistry got out its Prodigy tracks and celebrated them. You know, what do we do? Last week, if we'd been on the air, we were talking about how do you remember Andre Previn? So that was an obvious conversation for a classical station, but how do you remember the Prodigy if you're classical music for a modern world? So, wow, Jo Wilson, who's our head of music, she came from Warner Classic. She very quickly found a two cellos version of Voodoo People. So very different for a classical station, but I think you can say it's classical music, orchestrally interpreted. But the tweets, we got a great reaction because we were really on it. And I think that will maybe just give us the twist that makes us different to, you know, Radio 2 and classic, because we keep being
this
sort of told we're in the middle.
Exactly the point that I wanted to talk about. And by the way, Simon this morning got a tweet from somebody saying, Scala Radio, better than kittens.
I saw that. We're almost thinking about the new strap line. Yeah, there's an ad in there.
Because, you know, where was the niche going to be? There's Radio 3, there's Classic FM. Where do you fit in? I thought you were just more companionable than both of those. Lorna, did you hear any of Scala?
Well, I'm kind of busy listening to the six daily shows that we launched in January, but I did listen to some of Scala last night. I heard the young guy at 19.
Jack Pepper, yeah.
Really good presenter. Congratulations. It's a great launch. You know, if a commercial radio station can come up with a new format, it's good for all of us. Much of what we do in radio has been based on what we've been doing in the 80s. So anything to try and do something new is good. There's plenty of room. I mean, there is. There's plenty of room for new players or new ideas to carve out their niche. Why wouldn't it work with Simon Mayo? He's built his career on the BBC. He's well known. He's a talented broadcaster. It's quite an interesting thing for us to see a new audio format kind of built around a single name who's not doing breakfast. We don't listen necessarily in the way that we used to. So that's quite interesting. It's also interesting to see your first podcast coming out of his brand, as opposed to, I don't know, maybe a Scala podcast. So there's little interesting ideas in there. But yeah, well done.
Interesting, Brett, isn't it, that he is a niche station with presenters, because we've got sort of used to the idea that the only way you can be a niche station is to be, in effect, a stream of some kind of genre. And here they are saying, jukebox. But we're going to be a full service station.
Well, I think that's what separates radio out from being a streaming service. And we'll talk about Smooth Country later, I know, in the fact that it is a full service station and you've got that companionship. And Simon knows that better than anybody. I listened to the whole of Simon's first show and I don't really know classical music. I've never really listened to classical music, but I found it enormously accessible. There was very little that he played that I didn't know. Didn't necessarily know what it was, if that makes sense, without him telling me, but everything seemed very familiar. And you had all those things that Simon does and features that are also very familiar. I thought it was a terrific listen for the first day.
By the way, there's a very good documentary by David Baddiel about liking or not liking classical music, which is on the BBC Sounds, that's what they call it. That's very good. What I wanted to ask you, Steve, about was when you can launch a new radio station and do anything you like, why did you decide to do hourly news bulletins?
Oh, it was a long conversation about, do we do news at all? Do we make it, if we do, is it 3 minutes, 5 minutes? So we did do quite a lot of group work, talking to people about the music, about the style, about the presenters. And I think that if you are going to be live and act as a full service entertainment station, I think people do want that sense of place and time and liveness. So I think we came to a pretty quick conclusion that I think people like the news, and I think for this 45 and up audience, if there's an age to it, but really it's about an attitude and all of that, I think news is important. But let's not dawdle. So let's deliver the headlines and move back to music.
And certainly I think given the amount of news there is going on both sides of the Atlantic all the time at the moment, I think people want to know what's going on, and you don't want to give people an excuse to have to go somewhere else to get that news update.
But also it gives you another chance to really stamp what is this station about, because although you say it's not a classical station, it's a shortcut to explaining kind of what you're going to hear, and for some people classical music is still a turn off. And I think by having the bulletins, I mean, I heard the Keith Flint story in the bulletin. I'm not sure your closest competitors would have done that. So just by hearing that, you go, okay, this is not your regular classical, even though it's not a classical station. So I can see why, if it's live, you kind of have to have bulletins.
Sorry, just talking about niche stuff. You mentioned Smooth Country, which is suddenly arrived from Global. This is a trend as well, isn't it?
It is, and I downloaded the Smooth app to have a listen, which I sort of resented having to do. And I had a listen, but I couldn't find it when I first went into it. I couldn't see it amongst all of the stations. And then I went back to the home screen, and it explains that it's actually in playlists and not in stations.
Well, it is quite a low-key... It's
a playlist.
Yes, it's a playlist. So I didn't feel it was a radio station per se, which goes back to what we were saying just now about a radio station being a full service rather than a streaming service. And it played sort of Dolly Parton, and then it played me a bit of Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper. It's in a bit of a mixed economy. The Global press release said it's like being in a Chevy with its top down on a long drive through the centre of Nashville.
I don't think Ashley's ever done that.
Now, to me, it sounded like I was listening to Spotify in my kitchen, to be honest, rather than that.
It's a playlist.
And it's a playlist, yeah. And there is room for those sort of things, but I don't think we should confuse them with radio stations.
No, and if you're going to launch a station round a gigantic genre like country, it's gigantic. So you could end up annoying quite a few proper country fans by claiming a playlist is a station. It's too big a genre.
I wanted to go and listen to Chris Country for a much fuller experience.
Let's just talk about Radio 2, seeing as you're here, Lorna. We've had a few weeks now of Zoe and Sarah. How do you think they're settling in?
Well, for a launch, we're really pleased. It's really difficult to... I've been involved in quite a few launches and new shows, and it's nothing like your regular, day to day. When you have to launch a new show in the full bright lights of every entertainment platform, everyone's got an opinion, and on the back of a successful show, it's tricky. But Zoe is an absolute pro. She's done it before. This is, this is not a rehearsal for her. We also had a partially new team, because it wasn't just the departure of Chris. We lost quite a few members of the team who make the show, and that was all replaced and built up, and they've landed on their feet, because at the same time we launched 6 new daily shows in the same month. So when you launch, when you do that, you have to keep your focus on the one that's going to get the most attention. But Zoe's been great. What's been really, really encouraging is the reaction you get. Is a bit like the point that Steve made. You can do all your planning, you can do all your piloting, you can know in your gut it's going to work, but until you actually open the fader and the red light's on, and then you start getting the audience reaction, that's when you know it's working and you can sense it. So even before figures or any sort of testing, we know that it's landed well with the audience. The reaction from the industry has been great as well, because you need that. You can't just go off doing what you want to do. So the music industry has been great, because they're a real partner with us in terms of what we do. And it's a long game. This is not about, with shows that big, it's not about saying after 12 weeks, are we there yet? It doesn't work that way. You really need to do a proper year-on-year comparison and make sure that your creative calendar makes sense throughout the year. So we feel quite good about it.
I'm guessing that what we're seeing here, which we haven't seen for a few years, is some real churn in the market. There
proper
must be
change.
A lot of sampling going on. People from Radio 1 trying Radio 2, people from Radio 2 trying Scala and Virgin and other places. That's a particular challenge, isn't it, Steve, in terms of what you actually put out on the air to try and keep the people you've got?
Yes, I think we're sort of all in a sampling exercise where you're always listening to the last 15, 20 minutes thinking, okay, what does that segment sound like if you happen to have a Radar Diary? I listened to Zoe this morning to sort of get the latest sort of thoughts on her show, and the music surprised me a little bit, because I hadn't listened sort of intently, sort of almost listing the tracks, but I think this morning it was a really lovely mix of Earth, Wind and Fire, James Morrison, Spice Girls, then Mark Ronson featuring Miley Cyrus, which I didn't particularly expect, Steve Miller Band, one of my favourite songs, Abracadabra, and a bit of Whitney and Jess Glynn, so a nice mix, but sort of maybe 10-15% younger than I was expecting, even though I knew that the music was going perhaps a little bit younger, so I'm not quite sure what the older audience is thinking at the moment. But as an all-rounded breakfast show, she is a pro. I thought she was engaging, she was relaxing, and certainly not taxing. And I think what was interesting was it was a very BBC walled garden of topics in a nice way, but it was the 500 words. because it was Pancake Day. Everybody was talking about it in different ways on radio, but she had a guest from BBC Good Food, and she was backstage at BBC's Holby City and Casualty. So but it was that was a great BBC shop window, I thought, and she is an expert and a pro, and I found her very relaxing and the right voice that I would want from Radio 2 in the morning.
Brett, what do you make of Radio 2 now you're not there?
Well, I think Sarah sounds fantastic on Drive. She's slipped into that role absolutely effortlessly. She's a fantastic broadcaster. I was lucky enough to work with her on Sounds of the 80s, and I think she sounds great in that slot. I'm looking forward to reading her childhood memoir that's out this week, I think. She's sounds terrific. I've never been so perplexed, though, about the amount of choices at breakfast and the amount of things I want to listen
to. Great choices.
So at the moment, I really want to listen to Dave Berry on Absolute. I want to listen to Lauren Laverne on Six Music. And I want to listen to Greg James on Radio 1. That's before I start thinking about Zoe and Chris Evans. So there's just so much stuff that I want to try and consume at breakfast.
And I think
the choice is fantastic.
That is the challenge, because there will be a whole chunk of audience who, they won't be super loyal. They'll go for whatever their mood takes that week or that, and there's a lot of choice now which are all sort of in the middle. I mean, I can see people moving back and forth between Radio 1 and Radio 2. I can see a lot of choice between Radio 1 and 6, and the commercials that you've mentioned. It's going to be really competitive, which is good, right?
Absolutely. Let me ask you about speech radio, which you didn't mention in your list there, Brett. It's been announced that Jonathan Dimbleby is leaving Any Questions on Radio 4. We know that John Humphries is leaving the Today programme. They lost Eddie Mair. This is beginning to look as though there's a move to make Radio 4 younger as we look for a new controller. You're shaking your head,
because
Lorna. You don't think that they're trying to get a younger audience?
Because I think this is about the regular decision to, take retirement. I mean, this is not a world-beating major thing to happen. They have been in those jobs for a long time and done fantastic work. It's not unusual. They would have gone at some point. Not much has changed in certain parts of the Radio 4 schedule for a while. So I wouldn't read it into, that somehow management have got them to go. They've decided to.
Yeah, so I think, Eddie Mair went to LBC, and I think that was a considered, calculated move, and I think he's really settled into their format now. I kind of checked the releases this morning on Jonathan and Mr. Humphrey's move, and actually, 174, 175, I think they've both been in their respective seats for 32 years, so I don't think we could say that's a wholesale moving anybody younger. Let Michelle and others sort of breathe now on the Today Show.
But don't we expect, though, the more general point I suppose I'm making here is that the new controller of 4 will change it quite radically?
Well, every controller comes in and, just like a football manager, says, right, what's my team? What do I want to say about the network? Radio 4 is fantastically important in terms of what it represents around the UK. And changes deliberately take time. So I think it would be naive to say that the controller starts on Monday and by Friday they've got a whole long kind of manifesto of what they're going to do. But you'd expect them to say, I want the station to be X.
What do you think?
I was interested that the Radio 4 job description for the controller, two of the key things in there were being responsible for curation and making BBC Sounds work, and the other one was responsibility for BBC Ideas, which is something James Purnell started, which shows perhaps they're looking for a slightly different shaped Radio 4 controller than they've had in the past.
And why wouldn't you?
Absolutely.
Because we've just said nothing stays the same in this industry. So much change going on.
It's the Radio Today Roundtable for March 2019. We'll take an advertisement and then we'll come back and talk about what's been going on this week.
Phone calls, social media, SMS, email, codec control and visualisation through the same interface. Phone box from Broadcast Bionics. Welcome to the social studio at bionics.co.uk.
Brett Spencer is here, so is Steve Parkinson, both from Bauer Media, and Lorna Clark's here from Radio 2. There's a lot you can't tell me, Steve, about what's been going on, but it was announced this morning as we record this that you've bought yet more radio stations, this time from UKRD. We've been talking about this, it seems, for a decade. Have we finally, do you think, pretty much reached the duopoly?
Well, I think probably of the on the acquisition side of things, then probably as you look around the country,
there's not a lot left, is there, in the sweet shop?
You would think that the most significant ones are done, and as you say, obviously because of the CMA announcement.
This is not the Country Music Association.
The Competition and Markets Authority. This wasn't unexpected. Global went through the same with GMG, and I think we'll work with that.
So the stations you've bought are in what they call hold separate, which means that you own them, but you don't run them for a while until that process goes through.
Yes, that's right. It's not unexpected in these situations. They have some questions for us about the deals, and we're working with them on that.
Our listeners will expect me to ask this. You may not want to answer it, but is the direction of travel at Bauer the same thinking now as Global, that you will just go for national brands?
Well, as you'd expect, I'm not going to speculate here. You know, any decisions that Graham Bryce will make, who runs the Hits Radio Network and Greatest Hits Radio, will come to that conclusion in the fullness of time. I think we're in a slightly different situation at the moment, where we're still going through acquisition process, and while we've got the hold situation, we'll come back to that.
Lorna, how does this change the way you guys at the BBC think about the competition now that you've got national brands? I mean, when you and I worked together at the BBC, the opposition was independent local radio, as we called it, and so we could think, well, we'll maximise the fact that we are national and they're not. That's gone away. How does that change the way you view the competition?
The difference between those halcyon days when we worked in radio together is that there is competition on many levels. It's not just about radio stations. I went to, I spent a couple of hours yesterday at Bournemouth Uni talking to the Burst Radio team. They've got great studios. I mean, they're better than these. They're amazing.
Oh, how dare you? These are Bauer studios.
It was interesting. There were people there absolutely excited about audio content. I asked them, there's a room full of 100 youngish people, how many people have ever bought a radio? And no hands went up. So this idea that, you know, we should just limit our strategy around the radio stations, I mean, that hasn't been the case for a couple of years now. We've always thought beyond that. The fact that you will have more competition at national level, we've kind of been expecting it. I mean, again, if you listen back to the, we go back to the Scala conversation, you have a nationally known talent on a national platform, bringing with him nationally known features that have lived a life on Radio 2 for years, whether it's Pop, Op Master, or Confessions, you're going to get a national conversation around how we, you know, promote radio and audio and talent. So it's not a surprise. I mean, I think that, again, it's all good. It can't be that competition is about one or two people slugging it out in the corner. It's good for the whole industry.
It's high time we talked about what we've been listening to, both on linear radio and online. Who wants to go first? I'll choose Brett.
I'm going to talk about the 98%, which is one of my favourite podcasts. The second series has started just this week. Now, there are over 40,000 equity members in the UK, and 98% of them earn less than £20,000 a year. And that's what this show is about. It's presented by Alexa Morden and Katie Ellen Salt, who are part of the 98%.
That's a great name for a smart speaker, isn't it?
And it's not a podcast about acting, don't worry. It's more a podcast about not acting. And it's a really interesting insight into an industry where basically everyone, you know, every week somebody says to you, no, not you. So, you know, the level of rejection is staggering. And it's hilarious, it's scary, and it's surprising. There's tales of crazy auditions, utterly bizarre treatment by the industry, the sheer hell of commercial casting, which is a world that I didn't know anything about. There's also some really good interviews with a casting agent and a director and Equity's industrial organiser of low and no pay. That's a thing, an organiser of no pay. As you listen to that, you'll realise there's some interesting parallels with the radio and broadcast industry. And on the flip side, a show where they just get hammered. So season two started this week. I think they've got enormous warmth, the pair of them. It's a really engaging listen. And it's the only podcast that makes me laugh out loud, apart from Dad Wrote a Porno.
Here's a clip from 98%.
OK, so let's talk about this, and people can send in their stories. What's the worst way that you've ever found out you didn't get a job?
On Twitter?
Yeah. I once had a recall for a theatre thing, and it went really well. And I literally went from the recall. Now, this was not the casting director's fault, but this just goes to show, if you're a casting director and you're listening, how small the world is and how you find out about these things. I did the recall, went to the pub to meet my friends, sat down with my friend, and my friend said, "Oh, what have you been up to today?" And I said, "Oh, I've just had an audition for blah, 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 blah," said the play. And then my other friend came along and she was like, "Oh, so-and-so's just literally been offered a part in that." And from the time it had taken, it was the part that I'd been up for. So from the time it had taken me to get from the audition to the pub, one of my very good friends had had the offer. And by the time I got to the pub, my other friend told me. So that is just a lesson.
And you never got a no?
No, I didn't get a no. But like, it's the fact that like, actors will find out, and also we'll go looking, guys. We will go on the mad stalking hunt.
Oh my god! We will. I turn into a psychopath.
A stalker, but it's really shit when you're doing that, and then you suddenly see a tweet saying "thrilled to announce the cast of so and so." So,
Steve, what do you make of 98%?
Well, I liked it because I'm not a huge podcast listener because I've been busy on other things this week with Scarlett and so on. But so thank you for the recommendation. I listened to a couple and I loved it because just the natural and down to earth. And sort of back in the very early 90s, as I was stepping into radio, I was also a part-time actor and had the same sort of agent stories and tales that they had. In fact, my claimed fame is I had the same agent as Anton Deck back in 1991 in Newcastle. So I could absolutely relate to some of their stories. But it's a great listen. And I just thought actually the basic nature of that podcast was what I loved. It was just them having fun.
Let's hear Lorna's first choice.
Okay, so every Saturday I try and listen to Felix Hernandez. Felix Hernandez, UK time is 3 till 7. This has ended up kind of replacing my listen to Peter Young.
And where do we find the aforementioned Felix Hernandez?
Well, you find
Felix
him
Hernandez
on Jazz 88. It's WBGO from Newark. As you know, I'm always recommending...
Very cosmopolitan.
Well, because I've got this eclectic mix around music. If I can't find it, I want a bit of funk, a bit of soul. I want it live if possible. And I do love the idea of listening in my kitchen to something which comes from the States. I just do.
And will the aforementioned woman whose name starts with A find me this if I ask her for it? Or do I have to go on a website?
Yes, they should be able to. I mean, I listen to it through my internet radio. And it's interesting because we were trying to work out how old he is. We think he's about 70.
Young then.
When he talks about dance music and being on the dance floor, it's just brilliant. He's been doing it for over 30 years. He's just started taking bookings for his Soul Train cruise, which is for January and February 2020. So he's still like doing it, and it's just like Soul Train on the radio.
Let's have a listen.
That's Frida Payne on Rhythm Review, Band of Gold. Good morning. We also heard from The Emotions, Martha Reeves, and The Vandellas. Today on Rhythm Review, we celebrate the voices of the great women of soul, female singers from decades past and all the way up to the present day on Rhythm Review, classic soul and classic dance music every Saturday from 10 to 2. I'm Felix Hernandez, celebrating women today. We have our winter fun drive underway as well today here at WBGR 2019 Winter Drive. And boy, what a winter day it is. Woke up, I was personally surprised by what I saw out my window when I got out of bed this morning. I didn't expect quite this much, luckily we are all here.
Well, the wonderful world of Felix Hernandez. Steve Parkinson, what's your first choice?
Well, I went a bit closer to home and looked at BBC Sounds, which they sometimes get criticised a little bit too much, I have to say, having looked at the rich content that's in there. But so I chose Paradise, which is the latest true crime podcast to come from BBC Radio 5 Live, Stephen Nolan, and actually a reporter called Dan Maudsley that I thought was fantastic. He actually sounds like a younger version of your good self, Trevor.
Oh, hello.
It basically re-examines the case of British backpackers Chris Farmer and Peter Frampton. captain who went missing in 1978 whilst travelling through Belize in Central America. I think it's 9 episodes, and the second episode came out, I think, just this week, so you can catch up quickly. But it's great investigative journalism. It's a bit of a murder mystery for 38 years, and I won't sort of spoil it, because it's really worth listening to, but interviews that the Radio 5 Live went and found, so it really tells, it brings a different angle to the story, and actually I think has forced US and UK law enforcement to think again about some of the things they've discovered. So it's really quite an intriguing listen.
Here's Paradise.
After that, you know, he sobered up and we carried on, and I guess in their eyes things were okay. It was normal as usual, and but he called Russ and I together and said, "We've got to get rid of these people." And I didn't know what he meant. He said, "I want you guys to hide all the knives in the galley. No knives, no sharp objects." I'm like, this is kind of weird. What's going on? This is weird. But you do not argue with my dad. You just kind of do what you're told.
You and Russ are together. Your father says, we need to get rid of these people. What's in your head?
I thought he was going to drop them off at a port or something. So he was humiliated and he just had enough. I didn't really think that much of it.
That's Paradise from BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts, that's what they say. Brett, your second one.
My second one is Zigzag, which comes from the US. And this is the story of two women, Manoush Zamarodi and Jen Poyant, who gave up their long-standing careers in public service broadcasting to go into the commercial sector. I don't know why that would interest me at this time. One of the early startling facts that's revealed is that only 2% of all venture capital funding goes to female entrepreneurs. And this series looks at how they're attempting to build a journalism business on things that we don't really understand, like the blockchain and cryptocurrency. Stay with me, Trevor. I can already see the fear in your eyes. I promise you, if you listen to this podcast, you still won't understand any of those things, but you will learn about what it could mean for the future of what we do. And listening to them chase funding and is genuinely gripping, contrasted in the small hours with their fears around what they're doing and dealing with their small children. There's a true sense of jeopardy in this podcast. Can you gamble your career and come out the other side of it with something in journalism that's funded by something that most people don't really understand? And it's now in its third series. There's successes in there. There's also failures in there. And the third series is about the hype cycle, which is around, you know, an idea and how that functions. But it also has, you know, the qualities of a really well put together narrative from two people, from what you would expect from two people who have spent their careers working in public service broadcasting.
I'm kind of frozen in time because I'm not sure where to go.
I actually am partly grateful that I'm here because it makes me ask the hard questions and reevaluate everything. But on the other hand, it feels crappy. And that's no fun.
I'm Manoush Zamarodi, and as you know by now, this is Zigzag, and my co-founder Jen and I have so been there. We might still even be there.
We still have to ask ourselves whether we can even survive doing this. This question about whether we can be good journalists and good mothers and still make stuff creatively. Well, like whether that's like a total pipe dream.
Yeah, welcome to our pipe dream. And as the saying goes, misery loves company. So on this episode, let's wallow together. For once, let's forget positive psychology or self-affirmations and just call it. Sometimes things go wrong, horribly wrong, and it happens to everyone. There is so much we can learn, though, from failure, whether it's a toddler regressing, a wannabe tech tycoon whose business model is collapsing, or even a small American town that is in the thick of an economic crisis.
I mean, basically, this is like the mini Detroit. We had the big three like they did.
All right, stick with us. Zigzag, we'll be right back.
Zigzag, it's like Fortunately But With Content. Lorna, onto your second one.
Well, I don't get that much time to listen to podcasts, but when I do, I catch up on Evil Genius. So Evil Genius started life as a conversation between the comedian Russell Kane and producer Sally Heaven. It's made from the team in BBC Bristol, and you can find it on BBC Sounds. I just like it because it's a really easy to consume podcast if I need something for a commute. It has an interesting format. It works for me because he's obviously invested in the idea. He really sounds like he's done the research, and it's all about deciding whether a well-known person is an is evil or genius. So that could be Margaret Thatcher, it could be Bill Hicks, it could be Sid Vicious, which they took the Sid Vicious version as a live in front of an audience, the podcast, at Latitude. So that's quite interesting to me because my dad's wrote a porno that, I mean, that's done brilliantly as a podcast that has then gone onto an event. So that would be my recommendation. It's really easy to consume it, but you can see how they could do that live more often.
So we're on to Frank Sinatra. Frank Sinatra fans around the table?
Yeah, I think I'm a Frank Sinatra fan, yeah. I've always been like weirdly fascinated with Frank Sinatra. I've watched a lot of documentaries about him.
Do you know what I think when I hear Frank Sinatra? Boring.
Really?
Yeah, boring music.
How's
boring.
It boring?
It's so slow and, no. It's not going no beat, has it? What's a good Frank Sinatra song that would really get you going then if it was on the radio?
Sending the Clowns, My Way.
My Way gets you going.
My Way's a builder, isn't it?
I don't mind that, actually. Mm. But I like Rhythm and Blues.
I like Rhythm and Blues.
Oh, that's MC Hammer, isn't it? So we're drifting into discussing Frank Sinatra. So the way we're going to do it is each of you have an envelope in front of you. You're going to open your envelope, drop a swinging fact bomb on the situation, and the discussion will pan out from there. An envelope number one, Lou.
I can't wait to get it opened.
Before we hear your second one, Steve, seems we're talking about podcasts, we should talk about Podcast Live, shouldn't we, Brett? Which is yet another of Matt Deegan's things, this time with Phil Riley and others.
Yes, this is a very exciting new venture, which the idea of which being have a whole day of podcasts back-to-back recorded at a venue that people can buy tickets and come and see. There's been a lot of sort of various podcast festivals with odd podcasts, sort of, you know, a variety, but never actually a themed day like this. And you can absolutely see how it would work. And it's amazing no one's thought of it before, because you could do days on sport or days on entertainment and group together a whole load of different podcasts that a community of people would be interested in. The first one they're doing is about politics. It takes place a few days after Brexit, so there'll be plenty to listen to. It's going to be interesting to see where the venture goes next, but you can absolutely see how it'll have an audience, and the number of podcasts that you could then produce from it as a result of that live show. So good luck to them.
Steve, your final choice. Is it going to be Scala?
Well, it probably is going to be Scala, because although I did listen to 98% and Paradise, I've been otherwise engaged. What's been interesting is working out what could be a podcast, because we've been watching the streaming over the first couple of days, and back to Lorna's point earlier, you know, an appointment to listen like Confessions, you could see this huge spike as people came in for the judgment moment. So, you know, I think a lot of the questions are what's going to be a podcast and so on. And certainly I listened to Jack Pepper's first show. We mentioned him earlier. He's 19. He tracked me down on LinkedIn when he heard a rumour that we might be starting a classical station. And he just brings such a youthful energy, but the knowledge of a 90-year-old. But again, great storyteller. So I think he's one of our stars of the future. And whether it's a show in the evening, which he's going to do regularly, you know, I think there's a great podcast in there. So more to be continued.
It's Jack Pepper on Scarlet.
The LSO String Ensemble playing the first movement of Tchaikovsky's Serenade for Strings. Here is a composer who, like Robert Schumann, who we heard from earlier, suffered a complicated love life. But where Schumann couldn't marry the woman he loved for years because his father-in-law tried to stop them, Tchaikovsky forced himself to marry a woman despite his homosexuality. He married a former pupil of his, but soon broke down in tears on their honeymoon and ran off to Paris, abandoning his wife after mere months. He was trying so hard to conform to society's expectations of a man in the 1800s.
That's a clip from Scala with young Jack Pepper. I just wanted to pick one of my own this week, if I may, which is Kathy Fitzgerald's fantastic Radio 4 series Moving Pictures has come back. This is the series where she talks about a painting, famous painting. This week it's one by Seurat. And with some help from Google Docs, who've done this fantastic photography where you can drill down into the actual weave or the, you know, the finest grain of the paint. And you so you can watch this online while you hear her talking about it. It's a very, very clever and genuinely innovative thing. And it's called Moving Pictures, and here's a clip.
The woman's jacket, black from a distance, up close is speckled with red and royal blue. It gives a rough, tweed-like surface to the cloth. Her left hand hangs down by her side. She's holding two leads. One hangs loose, belonging to the bounding little dog with a pink bow about its neck, who runs in the grass in front of her. The other is fastened around the stomach of an animal at her feet. A monkey with an arched back and slender, curling tail. Art historians have made a lot of this little critter over the years. Colin Jones, Professor of History at Queen Mary University of London and a historian of France.
Whether this is picking up on the age-old trope of the monkey being a lubricious animal, it's very difficult to say. In other words, whether the presence of the monkey is suggesting that this is a woman who looks very prim and proper and upright and all the rest of it, but is in fact a working girl, maybe even a prostitute, who actually is here symbolising her sexual availability.
La Grangette had a reputation for that kind of thing.
So that's Cathy Fitzgerald's Moving Pictures. That just about wraps up the Radio Today roundtable for March. Any other business, Brett?
Not for me.
Lorna?
Nope.
Steve?
Not for me.
We will be back in April. We might even do it at Radio Days Europe in Lausanne. Or we might come back here. Thanks ever so much for being a fantastic panel. Back to you, Stu.
Thank you, Trevor, and to Lorna, Steve and Brett, of course, as well. Interesting chat, some great recommendations there as well. David Lloyd and James Credland still to come. First, a reminder about Clean Feed. If you've not tried it out yet, maybe you're starting up a new podcast as a venture away from radio, as you know it. Then it's great for doing that. It has been designed for radio people and for podcasters, and it's great for doing interviews from down the line, an OB from a remote location, co-hosting your show, whatever you're doing. It's really simple to use, connecting live quality audio over the web, and you can even record as well. It won't cost you anything to get started. It's only 30 seconds to sign up, and you'll be doing your first live interview or recording within minutes. Find out more at cleanfeed.net.
I'm James Cridland, the radio futurologist in New York City this week. New figures have come out this week from Triton Digital, who produce a ranker for streaming radio online. And they show that radio listening on smart speakers has doubled. In fact, it's increased by 111% over the last year. That's a bit more than double. And these figures confirm the rapid growth of smart speaker ownership and of the importance of a clear, simple brand. Smart speakers are good news for radio, as long as your radio station is remembered by your audience. I have a theory that your P1 station, your favourite station, does quite well on a smart speaker, but that you tend to forget about your P3 or P4 station. It's important that your radio station works on a smart speaker and that your audience can ask for it by name, both your proper official name and the name that they might reasonably use to tune in. More and more, it's clear that smart speakers are replacing radio receivers in the home. We've only got one space in the kitchen, for example, and either that space is filled with a radio receiver or it's filled with a smart speaker. But what the speakers don't crow about is that radio listening on mobile phones is pretty well static year on year. Instead of 42% of stream listens in January 2017, the mobile phone accounted for 44% in January 2018. Now, for a while, I've been claiming that radio listening is split in terms of physical device, that live radio does really well in terms of speakers, but doesn't work well on headphones, where we expect a bit more interactivity and access to on-demand. I've said that we should get our radio station available on anything that has a speaker, but get our on-demand content available on headphones. So these figures are interesting. Apart from anything else, they represent a told-you-so moment for me. So, what's your strategy for your radio station? On mobile, it's increasingly obvious that on-demand needs to be what you offer. And that's a bit harder than just finding a live stream from somewhere. You can get my weekly newsletter at james.crid.land and daily podcast news at podnews.net. And until next time, keep listening. And now on the Radio Today programme, here's David Lloyd.
Radio Moments.
Our history begins this week in 1968, and on Radio 1, the early signs of an unlikely national treasure.
This is the first of a new series of programmes in which you may hear just about anything. This morning we have the incredible string band and poet Adrian Mitchell, and we'll also play records by groups that you may not have heard of that we consider worthy of exposure. This is a record by a group that I used to manage in California that was released about 15 months ago. And it shows you, I think, that groups are capable of making records that never get anywhere that people should hear. And it's unfortunate the group has subsequently broken up. They're called The Misunderstood. Well, you have The Misunderstood, and that was called I Can Take You to the Sun. As I say, I used to manage that group, and we get an awful lot of records in each week, you know, from groups that are just making their first record, and it's very sad to have to reject them sometimes, because you know that the hopes of hundreds of people, or at least almost hundreds of people, are pinned on each record. You know, mums and dads are sitting at home to see if Johnny's record comes on the radio, and it's very sad when you know they're not going to. Anyway, one group that you're going to hear a great
beautiful relatability from John Peel, who'd been on the offshore pirate Radio London, but there with his first Night Ride show segment on Radio 1 51 years ago. And this week, 7 years ago, the BBC announced plans to call the Egton wing of Broadcasting House formally after him. But it hasn't quite turned out that way, has it? Another great Radio 1 music curator was Zane Lowe, and he left the station this week 4 years ago.
There's too many people to mention by name, but there's a few people I really need to say thank you to, you know, namely Francis and his whole team, you know, at Money and Joe and Luke and everyone up at Jade Show, and also thank you to Andy Parfitt and to Ian Parkinson and to Reese Hughes and Joe Harlan for starting the ball rolling. You know, to everyone who's worked on the show, listened to the show, all the artists who have given music to us to play on this show and given me an opportunity to do so. I want to say thank you very, very much. And I hope you enjoy, you know, I know you will enjoy listening to the wonderful Annie Mac this coming Monday from 7 p.m. Right, last song. This is the only one I've chosen tonight. Now, you could get emotional or you could just shake it out. One band has been a constant for me throughout this whole journey, giving me more one-liners that are passed off as my own, giving me more great music than I could possibly hope to digest in a lifetime. And they've been kind to me too. This is my last song. Queens of the Stone Age. A song for the dead. You can't even hear it.
The rule of three and the pause. Demonstrated by Zane Lowe on his last Radio 1 show. He disappeared to Apple to appear on the online station Beats 1. He's now on the Drive show there. Beats 1, by the way, enjoys 1% of the Facebook likes of Radio 1. But let's not be complacent. Big brands could start to own their own audio space. It's 19 years since Helen Bowden became controller of Radio 4. She was the station's first female controller for 20 years. She'd been head of current affairs and business programmes for BBC News.
I came in after James Boyle, who'd been a very, very controversial controller because he'd changed the schedule. Almost everything he did, I actually agree with. And I was public about that. But it was very important to do calm and consolidation. And I did lots of relatively modest things with the schedule, like early morning I cleaned up, but I just thought this audience has had enough of schedule changes and radio's habitual, you have to get to know it over time, so let's just focus on the quality of the content, let's get that right. Our audiences went up, they got to over 10 million, which was the highest it had ever been.
Helen Bowden reflecting on Radio 4, a channel which has to be cautious about change. And so, softly, softly, this week last year, the Today programme started teasing the next programme.
That's all from us. Our editors today were Purvi Patni and Terry O'Neill. After the news, the batteries that could power our future. From all of us on the programme, good morning.
In 1990, commercial radio started to lay incremental stations on top of the original local tier. In London, that meant the launch of the original Jazz FM.
I didn't sleep the night before. The excitement was huge. I mean, it was such a big deal. We were in the studio very, very early, watching the clock as it was coming up and just, you know, keeping our wits about us. It was just, everybody applauded the moment we got that first song out. It was just amazing.
Who have you been waking up with in the morning? Get it together, baby. Well, why not wake up with me, Diana Luke, on 102.2 every weekday morning between 6 and 9. Turn me on for the latest news headlines, financial and sporting news, and regular traffic.
Jazz FM, which launched this week 29 years ago, and it's actually 15 years since Jazz FM in the Northwest was relaunched as Smooth. He is 80 this week, and still wearing his cardboard shoes.
The In Crowd, presented by the Ramsey-Lewis Trio. In the sounds of 65 at slot number 52, but in the Cashbox Top 100 at number 5.
That's all for Saturday Club today. I'd like to say very many thanks indeed for all the telegrams and the cards, the good wishes that we've all received here at the BBC in London. We all appreciate it. And to all well listeners, we hope to be with you in the very, very near future. Saturday Club ends and we'll...
We've got a young lady who's come all the way from Amsterdam into Sheffield, and she's tuned to Radio Hallam. Delighted to hear it. And a very warm welcome indeed to Sheffield. Sorry the weather couldn't be better. To Iris van Loch, who's come over for the wedding of Margaret Armitage.
Our music format during the daytime was based on the playlist of 100 records, the top 40 singles reflected from local sales, 40 selected albums, and 20 new releases. This playlist would change every week, not like some of today's radio stations that keep the same format for months and months and months.
Happy birthday, Keith, from Forces Radio and the Offshore Pirates, Radio 1 on the launch lineup, Hallam, and now still on BBC Local Radio. Keith there had some views on Hallam's music policy, but let's check out what Reading's commercial radio station was playing as it launched this week in 76.
Well, that's another record you'll be hearing quite a lot of on our playlist from day to day. And that's the OJs there, and I Love Music. Just coming up to 6.20 right now, 6.12 and a half. Today is our opening day of Radio 210 Thames Valley, ladies and gentlemen, and we've got an array of stars coming in to the station and also visiting the Butt Centre, but we'll also be telling you a little bit about them later on. Except to say that some of the big names are Mary Hopkin, the Surprise Sisters, Mac and Katie Cassoon, Gary Benson, Roger Whittaker, the Kersal Flyers.
The launch hour of Radio 210 Thames Valley Broadcasting. The station stuck with its AM wavelength as its 210 name for 33 years until it became Heart. 2 years ago this week, a new presenter on Radio 2's Sounds of the 60s.
Good morning. Welcome to Sounds of the 60s. Tony Blackman here with you. My first Sound of the 60s. I've been looking forward to this very much. Two reasons, really. This is my era, the 60s, because, you know, it started on Radio Caroline in 1964. And all the music I'm playing, well, you know, I play them as new releases.
Tony Blackburn waking up in time for that new 6 o'clock morning start on Sounds of the 60s this week in 2017. So, with Housewives Choice launching on the BBC Light programme 73 years ago...
Well, once again, the many happy returns of the day department is open for business. And the greetings go to you, Mrs. Diamond, of Fives and Andrews Road, Yeovil.
Erewash Sound launching 9 years ago...
Just for Erewash.
Nottingham's Trent moving into Derbyshire 32 years ago...
On Trent 945, which is, of course, a brand new commercial radio station.
The death of Tommy Vance 14 years ago...
Kim Wilde and Cambodia, down from number 17 to number 19.
The first episode of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy on Radio 4 41 years ago...
It has, however, very little to say about the abduction of people by the remote reprogramming of teleportation coordinates to bring them to a cathedral of hate.
The birth of PAMS, the original jingle company, 68 years ago.
You'll hear all the guys who are here to play the best in music, night and day. Yes, here's the biggest sound in town. The channel's clear, so all can hear KOMA.
And the then BBC DG suggesting the bright idea of closing Six Music and the BBC Asian Network 9 years ago. Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Thanks this week to Trevor Dan and roundtable guests Lorna Clark, Brett Spencer and Steve Parkinson. And to regulars James and David Roy is back with me next week as we dive deeper into the latest consolidation with the UKRD Bauer deal. Join us for that.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creating and distributing clever software for radio.